TCS Wi-Fi keeps eRadio connected, fast, flexible and reliable. Visit tcswifi.co.za. TCS Wi-Fi, it's internet, only better.
Oh, it's been a long week, but here we are finally, and it's time for Tech Plus. Very big hello to you if you just joined us, and welcome to the show where we discuss all things technology. And man, oh man, we've got so many things to talk about. But firstly, we say hello to Kane.
Hey, what's up, Jon? How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good to be back on the Tech Show. It feels like just the other day we were talking about tech, and just the other day Facebook crashed. I mean,
yeah,
it's been a roller coaster October, I'll tell you that much.
Just like it, yeah. And even today and yesterday, more sites were down. I know for a fact CastBox was down, because we use CastBox for our podcasts. And it was down like 48 hours.
Jeepers.
And it's just only now starting to come back online. So why is everything crashing? That's my question.
That was a question I literally just saw on Reddit this morning. It's like, there was like three posts. Like, why does it feel like the internet is crashing?
Yeah. It's like the internet's not lacquer. But I think maybe it's to do with the technology, because something's happening with the sun. There's some kind of flare thing happening with the sun at the moment. And they actually said that it could affect technology. So who knows?
Interesting.
Could
these
be.
Kind of things don't really affect us. I mean, you don't walk outside and be like, that's a solar flare right there. I feel this heat is different, you know?
And also, did you also notice people are more moody?
I want to know neither confirm nor deny that one.
People are definitely more moody and prone to fighting. I've noticed that. I don't know if the sun's to blame for that one. Yeah, but anyway, we live in stressful conditions, so it's quite easy to trigger nowadays, I suppose. Yes, we've got so much to go through today. Kane, what are you starting with this afternoon?
Well, we're taking a look at the old infamous William Shatner. He made his way into space and broke. I remember in July, we had Space Grandma.
Space Granny, yes.
Yeah.
And Space Grandpa.
Yeah, and now it's Space Grandpa. But he broke the new record, because I believe she was 70... something.
Oh no, so he's now the
he's
oldest
90
person
now,
to go
yeah.
to space.
And okay. For those who don't know who William Shatner is, he was Captain James T. Kirk from the original Star
Captain
Trek.
Captain Kirk, yeah.
Back into space. I bet you when he made that, he didn't think he was actually venturing
really
into space.
Really going to go into space one day, yeah.
Let alone with Richard Branson. I don't think...
But you know what? Prince William said something really interesting this
week. Yeah?
Prince William said, instead of going on a space race, can we please just focus on repairing the planet that we are on at the moment?
Yeah.
What do you think of that? It's quite true.
Well, if we leave, I would like to come back. I don't want to leave because there's no Earth to come back to. And
yeah.
Just imagine for a second. I don't even think there's enough cars on the road to transport every single person from one place to one place. So if something does happen to the Earth, how in the heck are we going to get everybody off the Earth?
No.
There's definitely going to be a few games of the weakest link
to determine who's gonna
go and who's not.
It's gonna be the ultimate Squid Game.
Yeah, and I'm a marketer at heart, so I don't think I'm essential staff or crew members there. It's not looking good for me.
Do you think radio is gonna be alright?
Someone's gotta entertain them.
Yes.
It's a long boring flight, maybe no Netflix, no nothing. So
yes, no
radio,
Netflix.
Radio and podcasts. I think Joe Rogan will be on there for sure.
Yes, I'm sure Joe Rogan will actually look nice in space. He's got that spacey look.
In the mornings he'll do his podcast. In the evenings he'll commentate on some UFC, just to keep everyone entertained.
Listen, Kane, you just mentioned Netflix. You know, last week we spoke about that media box, set-top box from Telkom.
Yes.
And people, they saw that Netflix is no longer working on it.
And so we basically spoke about whether it could be a hardware or
yes.
technical related issue or something more significant.
Now, remember we said that if it is what you're experiencing at the moment, you're going to have to wait for a firmware update or something.
Yes.
Well, that's never going to come. You'll wait for eternity, because apparently a deal between the parties, being Telkom and Netflix, came to an end and it will not be renewed. And I think money's got something to do with it. Probably can't pay them. Ooh. So it's bye-bye Netflix for Telkom. If you have a Telkom box right now, you want to watch Netflix, you're going to have to go onto the website and you or get a new a box.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, do you have to get a new box from Telkom?
No, preferably a completely different one that's nothing to do with Telkom, yeah.
Because I was thinking about it the other day. Recently, a friend of mine, he had an ADSL line that went to his house from Telkom, and they came and stole the line, right? So I was thinking, because he was left without internet for 2 weeks. I was thinking, how can a line being stolen fall at the detriment of the consumer? Because the consumer is paying for it. If I ran a business and I provided internet and someone stole my line, it's my responsibility to provide internet to that paying subscriber. You can't let the month go halfway through without supplying him with an alternative, even an LTE router of some kind of solution within a timely manner. Like, yes, I feel bad for you for losing your line, but the consumer shouldn't take a knock. So the same question goes to say, the people who bought these Telkom boxes to watch Netflix on, who can no longer watch Netflix,
give them a solution.
Is the deal falling through the table to be dealt with by the consumer or to be dealt with by Telkom? They should be provided with an alternative. I think it's the onus is on Telkom to provide everybody who bought that box with a box that can stream Netflix, because that was a feature that you advertised.
You're right. And that's probably why people bought it, because of that feature. Netflix is a big sell point. But no, that's not going to happen, Kane.
Like, if I have to go on my TV and all I can watch is Showmax.
Yeah.
And Amazon Prime. Like, maybe that deal falls through as well.
But that's really bad. Honestly, if you have a Telkom box, I feel for you. And you need to make a plan.
You should either get refunded or new tech.
Because that thing is now useless.
No.
There's no way to sideload it or anything. It's not going to work.
You can't open it up and take the hard drive out like a decoder.
So, unfortunately, yes, a deal fell through. They actually confirmed it. And, that's really bad.
So now it's just a glorified brick.
Yes. So shame, man. What are these people going to watch now?
No, they're going to... I know what they're watching. The Telkom box. And they're holding up a finger at it as well.
Oh, yes. Do it.
So furious, because, I mean, those things come in quite expensive. They're like R1,000 or something ridiculous like that.
Yeah, and a lot of deals also came with that thing. And that's what sold the deals. People were like, hey, we're getting a box for free.
No, they have to do something. We should definitely follow that story and find out exactly what the consumer's getting.
That was in the contract, eh?
Yeah.
So that isn't it breach of contract now that they're taking one of the features away that was in the contract, part of the box?
Well, I think one, it's a breach of contract. Two, it's misinformation advertising. Advertising something that you're not. It's not true product. It's not the product that you were advertised, which is another problem. You know, these two things need to be considered. And you can't leave the consumer there to kind of twiddle his thumbs and go spend more money now to make a solution, because and to sell a product on a partially secure deal, because a deal won't just be closed and then all of a sudden there's a rug pull and now the deal doesn't exist anymore. So the deal must have been partially approved. Okay, based on this and this, we will allow you to be our partner, or vice versa, for Telkom to Netflix or Netflix to Telkom. There would have been a pre-substantiated agreement that needed to be, you know, concluded or at least agreed upon in order to provide that service. So you went and sold the product before that agreement was fully concluded. That's also a problem, because how could you do that? I mean, if they had to pay Netflix, let's say, I don't know the specifics, so I'm going to say $5 million, right, for a licensing deal in order to be able to connect to Netflix. I don't know the degree of it. It might be something completely different. But if the agreed upon amount was $5 million and Telkom said, okay, you know what we can do? We can sell these devices, generate a revenue, and use that revenue to offset the payment that needs to be made to Netflix. You still can't put it on the consumer. You have to actually take out of pocket or do something to actually provide what you've sold your customers, because those customers aren't just people who want to watch Netflix. They might be people that have an active landline subscription with you. They might be people who have an active mobile phone contract with you. A variety of different contractual deals might be in place with that consumer, and now you've basically told them the next contract that you take may or may not be provided to you as you were promised. You're going to lose, it's going to be detrimental, versus saying, sorry guys, this is a slip up, it was an unforeseen issue, we are going to reimburse you immediately or provide you with a box that you can use to watch Netflix with. I mean, that has to happen, otherwise I wouldn't renew my contract.
Imagine they come out with this cheap replacement. It's called Cheap Flix or something. And it looks like somebody ordered Netflix on Wish.
Takes 4 months to arrive.
Yeah, and then you've got all these terrible translated shows on there. Imagine.
So this is what I found really interesting. So in regards to William Shatner, right, who went into space, I never really considered it. But in the few within just a few days in space, your body already starts to adapt. So astronauts' bones start to lose density, their muscles become smaller and weaker because they're not used to being stood upright against gravity to move around and things like that. So while these challenges aren't much of a problem in microgravity, which is suborbital, like just slightly in orbit, they can lead to increased risk of injuries such as back pains or bone fractures when returning to Earth. Astronauts spend a considerable amount of time exercising in space to minimize these adaptations, which are similar to age-related changes affecting people on Earth. So a 90-year-old person with normal age-related health changes might arrive in space with their muscles and bones already deconditioned. This could present additional risks as their body adapts further when deprived of gravity. While we can speculate, not nearly enough older people have gone to space for us to know how much or how their bodies would actually cope with it. So someone like Shatner, who only spends a few minutes in microgravity, won't need to worry about this too much, but the greatest risks to their health are mental and physical stresses experienced during launch, re-entry into Earth atmosphere, and landing. So when you launch into orbit, you experience 3 Gs of force. And that's like equivalent to having 3 people of your body weight on your chest.
Oof.
And when you re-enter Earth, you can experience up to 6 Gs of force. So six people standing on top of you. Oof. That's heavy. I've been in a doggy pile at school, and it gets rough when there's like 7, 8, 9, 10 people on top of you. You know, you're going to pass out. So these high G forces can actually make you pass out. They can restrict blood flow to the brain and all sorts of stuff like this. But what they did find is, you know, sometimes people of an older age actually handle G force better.
What?
And that's something that they don't fully understand why or how. That they're going to be investigating.
Yeah.
So I stand to reason. Is being older better to be in space, even though your body needs to do all these adaptations and things like that? And if so, you know, why do you experience less G-force? I thought that was very interesting. Well, you don't experience less G-force, but you're more tolerable to G-force. You're less likely to pass out and all sorts of things like that.
I would think you would just break.
Yeah. So now my clock of going into space before 40 has just been extended to about 85, you know? As long as I'm 85 years old.
It's a long wait. It's going to be a long wait for you. I think we'll all be up there anyway by that time. We don't even have Disney Plus in South Africa right now. So we're only getting that next year, June 2022. But now they say that's the thing that's going to take over Netflix by at least 2025. So in 4 years' time. They will overtake Netflix as the world's biggest winner in the streaming wars. I think they've obviously got bigger and better contracts with TV shows and stuff, and more people will come over.
Well, I would think that, but I mean, traditionally when I was a little bit younger, I used to always rave, like hoping I could get Disney XD, which was like an exclusive Disney sub-channel for kids with like...
On DSTV, yeah.
Mm.
I remember.
And I never used to be able to watch it. So I always thought Disney Plus was a younger model of content. Because Netflix has a lot of the AAA content And there's a lot of content on Netflix which is available, which cannot be watched in South Africa. Like the Venom movie, for example.
Mm.
I specifically remember, I think, watching the Venom movie on Netflix. And like the other month, I went to go look because Venom 2 comes out now. The new Venom movie comes out.
Is it a snake movie?
No.
I don't know what Venom
is. It's a Marvel movie.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's just it's out of my league.
Yeah, I'm a big Marvel fan, so Venom always was something that I wanted to watch, which was traditionally an enemy of Spider-Man.
Venom sounds like a snake movie.
It does. It sounds like snakes on a plane.
Yes,
which, you know, the modern version of it.
I was thinking,
but no, it was a Marvel movie based on a guy called Eddie Brock who ends up merging with a thing called the symbiote and becoming quote unquote a superhero with a very Deadpool humorous kind of aspect to it as well. But I remember watching that movie on Netflix, and just like a month ago or so, I tried to watch it for the sequel coming out, you know, just to refresh my memory, and I couldn't watch it. But the funniest thing was I went onto Google and tried to find this movie on Netflix, and when I actually ended up finding it and traveling to it on Netflix with a pop-up saying I can't watch this movie, I could see on the title that I had watched up until the last 1 minute of the movie. So I knew I had watched this movie on Netflix.
Yes.
But obviously they are restricted for certain regions, so they couldn't play that in South Africa anymore. So there is a lot of shows that are available on Netflix that we just don't see.
Yeah.
We can't, it's not found.
Well, they just disappear.
Or they just disappear. And I think it's going to be difficult for Disney to really solidify that overtaking of Netflix, considering Netflix also now has their own production company. You get these Netflix originals, which might be made by someone else and bought by Netflix, or they might be made by Netflix themselves. I think even that one movie, we'll never remember it, like Army of the Dead or something like that, they specifically approached that guy from WWE, I think his name was Baptista in WWE.
Oh, yeah.
They approached him and said, you can either be in Suicide Squad or you can be in Army of the Dead for Netflix. And that's a big decision to make. Do you work for DC and DC Studios and things like that? Or do you work for Netflix and produce content there? So I think it's going to be a challenge to maintain that overtaking. But one thing Netflix definitely doesn't have that Disney has is the younger orientated content. You know, I think even Hannah Montana was Disney.
Yeah,
Ben 10 was
all Disney.
Disney,
yeah.
You know, all these child related shows that did very, very well, these teen related shows, Teen Titans and all that stuff, I think that's all Disney. And
so the kids are going to want that. They're going to nag mommy and daddy for Disney.
Yeah, and who watches more TV than a youngster?
Exactly. Like, okay, so that makes sense why it's going to overtake.
They can
Netflix.
Beat them just on concurrent younger viewership, because a child during a school holiday can watch TV for a month and a half, you know, 10 hours a day if he's allowed the allocation. So that, I think they could definitely overtake them in that regard.
I wonder if that's not why Netflix all of a sudden now dropped a lot of Nickelodeon shows into their offering.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Like,
you think it could be related?
Kind of
yes,
Danny
yes.
Phantom.
Sam and Cat and all that kind of stuff. With
Cat
a very
dog.
Young Ariana Grande. With red hair and a very high-pitched voice. I wonder, it could be, like a future thing, Let's quickly put in some younger stuff on there.
I think it's definitely a move that Netflix needs to combat if they're going to maintain, because you can't just serve an older audience. And I've seen the Netflix for kids. I mean, it's not, I don't know. I don't watch it anymore, so I wouldn't be able to say, but I just don't see as many people watching that as Disney. Disney is just so massive. You know?
But remember a month or two ago, I was complaining about the offering on Netflix. Saying, there's nothing new. Now I've changed my tune completely.
Really?
Because tomorrow, You season 3 comes out.
Oh,
that stalker show.
That's big.
That's a big thing to see. I recently finished Maid, M-A-I-D, like a maid.
Yeah.
It was brilliant.
Good show.
10 episodes. Brilliant.
Wow.
And then obviously Squid Game.
You know what I saw is also coming out on Netflix?
What?
Another Life. I don't know if you ever watched that.
Yes.
What a
sounds
show.
Familiar.
Absolute.
Yeah, and Dynasty.
Show. Yeah. All these shows. Actually, they're doing... They,
so I'm keeping
they're
it
definitely
now.
Recovering from the COVID shamble, which I think hit a lot of people.
Yeah.
But also in regards to Disney, I mean, Disney now owns... I'm sure they own the rights to Avengers. I might be wrong. They definitely own Star Trek. I mean, Star Wars. I think they bought Star Wars. So they're definitely going to be a strong competitor. But speaking of strong competitors and explosive growth, I'm sure you know of the cryptocurrency exchange and wallet here in South Africa called Luno.
Yes, it's kind of you told me about it.
Exactly. It's kind of the go-to suggestive cryptocurrency wallet that someone would suggest to someone to use. And Luno has just hit over 9 million customers, which is huge. And it's not just in South Africa. So Luno now, and I think Luno in 2017 won startup EU startup award for highest accelerated growth, but they took 5 years to reach 1 million users, and in a very short period of time they've reached now 9 million users, which just goes to showcase some of the growth that crypto is experiencing so far. But Luno says it added 1 million new customers in the 4 months since June, with 30% of those people based in South Africa. So that's a big number.
That's pretty good.
It's just over 1 million. Just over 1 million people have started using cryptocurrency or looked at using cryptocurrency in South Africa. So Marius Rates, Luno GM for Africa, comments, "The average value of first deposits made by our million new customers is around 550 rand. Which means the average person that is buying crypto today is buying about 550 rand worth of it. And that's for Luno specifically. Most new customers, of which 67% of them bought Bitcoin, 43% of them bought Ripple, and 20% of them bought Ethereum. Of the new customers, 37% are split between the ages of 18 and 24, and gender splits align with trends in financial services. Almost three quarters, 71%. Are male." Very interesting. And I think it's not a male or female industry, but I would say it's definitely for any gender to be involved in a different financial industry, to learn about it, whether you're an investor, a retail investor, or you're just a person interested in learning more and becoming part of an industry. I mean, you can be a photographer, and you can, like a photographer, and you can go and work in the crypto industry, taking photos of conferences and all that sort of stuff. You know, you could be a marketer, you could be a technician, you could be, many things are applicable in the crypto industry. So it would be nice to see that percentage shift from 71% male to a little bit more 50-50. And that's always been a problem. I remember a few years ago when you were online during 2016, 2015, 2017, all those kind of that period of time, it was like 95% male dominant. And it isn't a male dominant. It shouldn't be a male dominant industry. It's just financial information, financial technology. So I thought that was very, very interesting. But good on Luno for hitting that, because I've been using Luno, I think, since day one, and it's been a pretty solid app. And it's good to see customer growth like that.
Yeah, no, it sounds like it's really growing here in South Africa, which is good. How did you cope with load shedding this past week? You know, it ended now, but there's a big risk of it coming back again.
When load shedding hit, I took to Twitter with vengeance. And I found that everybody else before me had already taken to Twitter. So I was just fine. I was like, okay, everyone, it's not just me that's upset about it. So clearly not a lot of people are happy about it. And you mentioned, I think last week, that it's weird how failed raises for Netflix correlate with sudden load shedding. You know, they didn't get the funding that they were looking for, that they were asking for. Now all of a sudden we go into load shedding. And it's just a thing that I think we're never going to escape from without breaking the monopoly of Eskom, without having the ability to buy an alternative source of energy and or provide our own generated source of energy back into the grid and be paid for it. I don't see how it's just magically going to become better with our outdated facilities and things.
But wait,
like that.
There's more.
What is
but it? Just before I tell you, people were actually blaming us last week, saying we spoke about it, and then just a while after that, it was announced that they're shedding it back. So is it a case of let sleeping dogs lie?
Like, you see the news, you're like, no, if I pretend they blamed us, see it, it doesn't exist.
It's like we called up the spirits. We called up the load shedding spirits.
Eskom heard our podcast, and they're like, you've done it now. Now yeah. It was a joke at first, but now we're serious. You know?
Yeah. But Eskom CEO Andre de Reiter says they are now going to invest. Ooh, this is a lot of money. I don't even know they've got this amount of money. 14 billion rand in battery storage, which will complement the company's existing pump storage capacity. These batteries form part of Eskom's flagship 360 megawatt battery energy storage system, which include 90 sites in the Western Cape, the Northern Cape, Eastern Cape, and KZN as well. I didn't even know about these batteries.
You know what that reminds, what that makes me think of? It's like having a staircase to your second story of your house, but one of the steps are broken. And instead of fixing the step, you just put a first aid kit at the bottom of the stairs. So every time you walk up the stairs and tumble down, at least you can grab the first aid kit.
You're right. Wow, I like your analogy. That's brilliant. That's brilliant. The distributed battery storage infrastructure will be installed in containers at its substations, including substations located at renewable energy plants. So they're going to spend 14 billion rand on this now, instead of fixing the existing infrastructure.
Yeah, because they realize it's a lost cause to try to fix that. It's like probably like whack-a-mole of issues, you know.
And they're under pressure to get rid of the coal because of the environmental summit and all that kind of stuff that's happening now. Because recently, as we mentioned here on Tech Plus, Eskom is one of the worst polluters in the world.
Which is absurd.
Because they're using coal-powered stations, even worse than China.
That's absurd. I even saw this other thing where, I'm not too sure on the specifics, but Eskom had created an application for a large amount of coal to be moved from one facility to another facility. And they had approved contractors that could claim they could get, you know, 30, 40 truckloads every day or 150 truckloads every day of coal. But then this road, you just see a picture of it, this road is just backed up by like 50 trucks behind each other.
I saw that, yes.
And you just think to yourself, like, there's just a degree of thinking that isn't happening when someone big like this is, because it's not a problem as a small company to think like that and do things like that, but you actually got to, like, you got to think on a broader scale. And I don't feel like, I think 17 billion rand might be able to do more and do better than creating battery. Because I don't know, how do the battery packs charge themselves? Is it just to store excess power on the grid? What is the purpose of the battery? Does the battery require solar power in order to become charged? If so, that's great. But if the battery only is a capacitor for electricity and that needs to be charged through burning of coal, then you're not solving any problems. You're just making sure that we don't have to go through load shedding anymore. And all the troubles can happen without the public eye on them.
I wonder if this is not where they got the money, because here's an article that says Pacific Investment Management Co. has agreed to lend a South African State Development Bank 3 billion rand, that's $210 million, the first deal in United Nations program to fund green energy in Africa. I wonder if that's not where they got the money from.
I hope it is, because we really need to move away from this coal thing. I mean, we've gone through the stats. It must be like 10 times already, generating 35,000 odd megawatts of electricity. And of that, only 700 little megawatts are actually solar generated or renewably generated. Which is absurd, in my opinion. It's not even 1%. It's not good enough.
Yeah, it's not. What are you giving us when we come back?
So next we're taking a look, and you coffee fanatics out there, including myself, have a hard time digesting this one. Lab-grown coffee is here, and would you drink it?
Ooh.
Coffee grown in a lab.
Oh, no. No.
Oh, yeah.
No, it doesn't sound good to me. Did you hear who's making a comeback?
Who? Adele.
Yes.
Oh, my word.
Hello.
It's almost like she knew we were talking about it.
Yeah, she just said hello to you, Kate. She's got a new album coming out on the 19th of November, and then a new song drops on Friday.
Fantastic.
But it's a sad song because it's about a divorce. Oh, yeah. So we can't dance to it. Listen, Kane, there's something I want to tell you. This is a very interesting story. What would you do if you are sleeping, okay, and then all of a sudden a meteorite comes through your roof?
What would I do?
Yes.
I'd scream first. I would think to myself, yo, someone knows how to throw a rock, eh?
But it comes, listen to the story here. A Canadian woman was very nearly starstruck.
Literally.
Who wrote this article? You are a genius. Starstruck, literally. When a shooting one smashed through her roof and it landed in her bed. It was the night of the 4th of October, and Ruth Hamilton was asleep in her home in the small town of Golden, which is it's in British Columbia, and she was suddenly awoken by something striking her pillow, something quite literally out of this world. They're making me cough. Startled by the crashing noise and feeling debris on her face, she dove out of bed and she jumped and she turned on the light, and then she noticed this big hole in her ceiling.
And
this large rock was on the pillow where her head has been. She's okay now, but yeah, it looks like she was starstruck.
Oh,
quite literally.
Word. There it is on a gum tree the next day. Like fresh space rock. Freshly
farmed. You could
probably
sell that thing for millions. But imagine, luckily it wasn't so big. It was just like a little piece, but it's strong enough to break your roof.
Yes, if that happened, you'd turn into a superhero. But that thing hit you. My word. Can you imagine? I would have had a proper fright, eh? I would have hid under my bed thinking it's an earthquake. I wouldn't process it for the first few minutes.
But now who's gonna repair the roof?
I don't know, just be glad you're alive, I guess.
Can you be insured for meteorites falling on your house?
My words, I'd be so interested to find out the anatomy of that space rock.
Yeah, sure, even though it wasn't big. Tests. It wasn't that big, you know. But it could have killed her. She
probably worth millions.
Lucky. Yeah. I would sell it now.
That's a diamond falling in your lap right there.
Yeah.
Well, through your pillow.
Yes. Oh, my word, that's funny. Kane, it's over to you.
So we're taking a look at lab-grown coffee. I mean, this is something that I think is going to either be heavily rejected or slightly like, I'll give it a go. You know, it's not going to be like lab-grown coffee. Bring it on, you know, like I'm ready. Let's have some coffee grown in a lab. So Finnish scientists say they have produced coffee from cell cultures with an aroma and taste resembling the real thing. The VTT, Technical Research Center of Finland, may have come up with a more sustainable alternative to growing coffee beans by floating cell cultures in bioreactors filled with a nutrient medium used to make various animal and plant-based products. Hiki Asila, the VTT researcher in charge of evaluating the process, says cups of cellular coffee probably could not pass standard taste tests just yet, but had lots of potential for a multi-billion dollar global industry. So they also went on to say that not like of course 100%, it tastes like a combination of different types of coffee.
Ew.
We're not there yet with a commercial variety, but it certainly does resemble coffee at the moment.
No.
So it's like, do you want some lab-grown coffee that doesn't quite taste like coffee but might pass as coffee?
Does it actually come out of the tubes and stuff?
They grow it in a lab, so instead of bulldozing a massive piece of land and destroying a forest and planting coffee and getting coffee beans, they're now considering growing it in a lab. So the environmental benefits of lab-grown coffee included reduced use of pesticides and fertilizer and less need to ship coffee beans for long distances to markets. I think the biggest issue is obviously building or manufacturing farmland and destroying agricultural land to develop that, or destroying even a forest or rainforest to develop that land. But I don't, they specify the benefits are less pesticides and fertilizers, which I think, you know, you should try and use as little of that as in any way. And they do not need to ship coffee beans long distances to market. So I don't think it's quite an industry disruptive solution. But it definitely could help some places. But would you actually give it a go if someone said, I grew this in a lab?
Well, I won't be one of the first ones to taste it. I don't want to die. But, I don't know, eh? I'm always keen for new stuff. But let me just ask you, do they actually have beans involved in the process?
So they grow it. Yeah, they grow it in a, as a culture.
Then
so it's a coffee bean, but it's just grow. It's not grown like an indoor hydroponic.
It's more
system,
it's more like a controlled environment.
It's super controlled.
So it's going to be very artificial.
Very. It's like the future of it's like GMO coffee, I would say, is the most accurate. Probably GMO slash hydro slash.
Would you drink it?
I would definitely taste it. And based on the taste,
Do you think we'll survive a taste?
I think if I liked it a lot, I'd be even more nervous to drink that coffee.
Because you're going
to
get addicted.
Yeah, not even addicted. Like, I don't know what's in there. I don't know how it's been grown. I don't know if it's like molecularly stable, if that, you know, is not really grown how we've been drinking
it. Or something.
Yeah, no, you never know.
Yo, but listen, next question. Kane.
Yes.
Hey, Kane, would you buy a Nokia TV?
A Nokia TV. A Nokia TV, hey, would definitely double as something indestructible. I would put a Nokia TV in my younger brother's room. You know, if I had like a brother who was 3 and maybe 5 or 7, and that would just go in there because it's
TV for life.
It's indestructible.
It's TV for life.
Yeah.
I think, you know, Nokia TV, Nokia being so good and the reputation it's got. I mean, those phones are still found when archaeologists dig up stuff. They still find those phones. I mean, the 3310 was basically indestructible. And let's not even talk about the battery life. I mean, that phone lasted for months on one charge.
I literally watched a video just the other day where they had a solid piece of spherical, like, iron or metal that they were pushing against a heavy ton press, like a hydraulic, you know, 5, 10, 20, 40 ton press that they would use to flatten materials and things like that. And they were flattening this piece of metal that was obviously took a lot of force to do. And then in the next part of the video, they had a Nokia E250 there and the press broke.
Yo, listen, I'm not surprised, eh? Those things were made of the good stuff.
Yeah, no, they found that meteor, like, that landed here. They just sourced those materials.
Oh. No, listen, it's legendary. I mean, it looks like your average TV.
It looks very nice, actually.
It looks very classy. But I reckon if somebody breaks in and they want to steal your TV, they will break their back.
Do you remember the Nokia ringtone? Like, imagine you turn it on and that Nokia ringtone just plays. That would be brilliant. I would ask them to please do that for my TV.
Which one?
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, the default one. That used to be the default one. But yeah, we're getting it in South Africa. A company, Ellie's, they launch a lot of stuff here, from plugs to any electrical equipment. They say they will launch Nokia smart TVs, nogal. So they're smart TVs.
Don't need a Telkom box for that.
No. No, just wait for the Nokia TV and then you can chuck away your box or take it apart and use the LED in it.
I hope it's really affordable. I hope it doesn't have a Windows operating. So remember those Windows phones? Nokia came out with phones that had a Windows mobile operating. It was terrible.
No, and this past week I've heard of more people who went to Windows 11 and they live to regret it.
Yeah, no.
It's not a good move. Don't do it.
I'd rather use a cup and a string before I go to a Windows phone. Yeah. Honestly.
Oof, yeah, it was weird.
It was horrible.
Yeah, even the start button and stuff.
No.
It was like, no, my computer is my computer, my phone's my phone. Why are you mixing the two? Anyway, we're getting these Nokia smart TVs before the end of this year. So look out for it.
I'm definitely going to give it a try. I mean, I will maybe go look at the shop and see it. I don't know if I'll buy one. But I think if it's nice, I'll definitely give it a go. I mean, it's... That TV you showed me there didn't look like the pinnacle of indestructible, though, I must say.
Very thin.
Very thin.
Those very thin edges, and it's like really thin.
Like, you bump into it and you chip off the screen off the side. You know?
Or you watch an action movie and one of the bullets actually enters out of the TV. Yeah. Oh, my word. Anyway.
So, do you want to hear something about Twitter? Because we spoke about Twitter a little bit last week when everyone flogged over to Twitter.
Twitter was indestructible because they haven't had any downtime.
And you know what they came up with? They said, you know, guys, we're getting a lot more users. You know what we need? Mm-hmm. If we have a lot more users, we need a lot more ads.
Oh,
so
no.
So they've added more ads to the Twitter platform. You will now see ads in conversations.
No.
Yeah, on like Twitter conversations.
Direct messages or replies or what?
No, like a tweet goes out, you reply to the tweet, you're looking through other people's comments on the tweet.
There will be ads in between.
Every 3 to 5 or 9, it differs. So you
and these ads will be based on what you've been searching for on your phone?
Exactly, and kind of like targeted at the conversation
itself. Oh no, that's not lacquer.
Yeah. So someone's going to be talking about how terrible Telkom is. You're going to see the Telkom smart TV box there advertised to you.
Now at a reduced rate, 50% off. Bring your own Netflix.
I couldn't believe it. Because apparently Twitter ads only made up for 15% of their revenue last year. So they decided, let's add some more ads. So they're trialing this out. But there is something positive about it. You as a creator or an author of tweets or someone who tweets a lot can actually choose whether to allow ads in your responses. But if you don't, nothing happens. It's the same as it was. But if you do, you earn a percentage of the ad revenue
that
is generated in your conversation. So it's almost like it makes Twitter money, but they're kind of labeling it like you're supporting a creator.
Yeah, they're just trying to make it kind of more acceptable in a way.
Well, I think it would be heavily shunned if they didn't at least profit share a little bit.
But I mean, Spotify is already bad with those bombarded ads and YouTube. Man, YouTube's really bad now.
Sometimes I get 3 non-skippable ads before the video starts.
I can't skip it without forcing, hey? You will watch these ads. You will. Every single second of it. 30 seconds a pop. You will watch these ads. And they're all based on what you've been searching for on your phone.
Yeah. And whatever's connected to your Gmail account that's connected to
it. It's like they're trying to burn it into your brain. That's the thing I'm feeling.
I must say, I'll never forget Didi now.
Who's Didi?
The taxi service. Oh, I keep getting advertised.
And I keep getting
Didi.
Bolt. I don't want to use Bolt. It's always the same bloody ad.
You know,
I
was in PE and I was getting a lift and I saw, wow, Uber's like 150 rand to my destination and Bolt 75 rand.
Oh, cool.
So I was going in Bolt and I asked the guy, I'm like, why are you using Bolt and you're not using Uber?
Yeah.
He's like, no, because I applied to be a driver on Uber and they said I couldn't because I had a criminal record. And I was like, I'm ready to get out of this car right now and
how
take an Uber.
How far were you?
I was like 10% of the way.
Oh, shoot.
I was like,
did you stay in the car?
I think I did.
Do you know what his criminal record was
for? No, I wasn't asking questions. Leave no witnesses. I don't want to be part of that cleanup.
maybe you were actually driving a stolen car.
Oh, I don't know, but he was registered on Bolt, and from then I did never use Bolt again. I was like, no, this is
now they
dodgy.
Should screen these drivers should be screened properly, man.
Uber screens them.
It's quite a process with them.
Screening process, and that's what we actually need. We don't need more drivers. We need more safe drivers.
Exactly.
You know, I'd rather be in a safe car than a dodgy car. I swear, and I'm a guy. So, I mean, imagine a female.
Exactly.
You get yourself in a situation late at night driving home. Like, you don't want to even think about that. You want a safe drive home. So, I don't trust the new driving apps like Didi and Bolt.
I didn't even know about Didi until now.
No, I hear it all the time. I get because I only know about it because it's been like burned into my iris.
So Didi is doing that to you, and Bolt's doing that to me, and none of us want to use any of it.
No,
we actually put off for life. So why are you?
It's the worst advertising ever.
But you know what, Kane? Can you imagine if you're a girl, and you are in an Uber, or you think it's an Uber, and then you get this message on your phone: your Uber driver is now ready. Please get in, but you're already in this car. And this guy said he's your Uber. Where's he taking you? Can you imagine that actual fear?
I'll fold myself out that window. I'll go through the flipping.
Like, your Uber has arrived. Yes, I know. I'm in it. No, you're not. The driver's like, hello, where are you?
You like drive away and the Uber's still in the on the map and you're moving. No way.
I'm sure that happened to people, and we'd love to hear from you if you're still alive.
Barrel roll out that car.
If you're still alive, we'd like to hear from you. Send us a WhatsApp, because, I mean, what do you do in a situation like
that? You know what I would honestly do? You know, seats have that pulling lever that you can adjust the angle.
Yes.
I would pull that and just flatten him against the steering wheel until he lets me out. That's my first resort. Next resort is jumping out the window.
That's actually quite a very creative game.
Yeah, he's going to be worried, you know.
Yeah.
He's smiling at the steering wheel. He's going to have a few things to think about.
Oh, that's brilliant.
So do you want to hear what's next? So this is a pretty big shot at Amazon, actually. Indian retailers demand probe into Amazon after a report shows potentially copied products. So in a nutshell, what's happening here at the moment is there has been a call from some Indian retailers to say to the government, please look into Amazon. We feel there is some like monopolistic activity whereby they are manufacturing products to compete with the Indian market, but putting it higher up in the search results intentionally, which is actually pretty black hat practices. You know, it's pretty under the radar kind of action. So they're currently kind of defending this allegation, and the Reuters report reviewing thousands of internal Amazon documents found that the US company ran a systematic campaign of creating knockoffs and manipulating search results to boost its own private brands in India, one of the company's largest growth markets. Wednesday's report showed that for the first time, at least in India, manipulating search results to favor Amazon's own products as well as copying other sellers' goods were part of a formal strategy at Amazon, and at least two senior executives had reviewed it. That's terrible. That's terrible, because if you were in South Africa and you manufactured sunglasses or something more applicable, like maybe fiber laser cutting machinery, okay, and you're competing with three local businesses in South Africa, and Amazon comes and basically creates the same product as you, very, very similarly, and then has their product ranked higher in South Africa for your current dominated technology, it's going to seriously affect you.
Yeah.
And your projections for revenue and. And the profit maker is Amazon. It's the label, Amazon label. It's the company. It's not the individual. It's not the entrepreneur. So if these allegations can be substantiated, Amazon's in big trouble, because it can't even compare the Indian technology market to South African market. I mean, it is like... I think it's the third biggest industry for Amazon at the moment.
Yo.
It's massive. One of the groups that apparently made a bit of a stink about it, they represent 80 million retail stores in the country.
Yo.
80 million.
How can you even have that amount of stores in the country?
I don't know. I can't even manage, I wouldn't even be able to manage 10, but to represent 80 million retail stores and company, I think it's a group, it's a confederation of 80 million retail stores in the country. But that is absolutely massive.
That's insane, man.
And to have 80 million retail stores behind you, all saying, "Okay, no, let's try and take Amazon on," it can hit hard. You know?
Yeah,
it can hit hard. And there's Indian nationals shouting that they should boycott Amazon and all these kind of things. So, yeah, no. If they're doing it in India, where else are they doing it? That's the bigger question, regardless of India. I mean, maybe they do it in South Africa. Maybe they do it in Asian regions. Who knows? But it's definitely poor business practice. I mean, you can't take the money out of under the feet of the people who live in the country, and that's their bread and butter, to substantiate revenue. You're already making money because people are selling products on your website. They're selling it and you're taking a share, and now you're developing your own products and selling it in the same market.
It's called greed.
It's not good.
It's a problem.
It's not good.
I think greed is the biggest pandemic. Listen, I can't believe it, we're actually out of time, but listen to this story. Susan.
Yes.
Say hello to Susan.
Hi, Susan.
Susan sent us this article just now, and it's brilliant. Coldplay's next tour will partly be powered by a dance floor that generates electricity when fans jump up and down. How awesome is that?
That is super cool.
Hey?
That is super fantastic.
It's part of the band's 12-point plan to cut their carbon footprint 2 years after they pledged not to tour until they could do so in a more sustainable way. So now the more you dance, the more electricity it generates. How awesome is this?
That is so sick.
I didn't even know you can do that.
I didn't know that either. I didn't know. Maybe it's vibrational related.
I just hope it's wired correctly so that the electricity doesn't go back to the people dancing.
All the generated electricity. You see people with their hair standing tall. You know? Look like they're at a rock band.
Ooh, yes, like it. Well, thanks, Susan.
So just before we close off, you mentioned it last week that South Africa needs a new Mixit.
Yes.
And recently the SA communications minister said the same thing.
Is somebody seeing a gap now?
They want to empower youthful technology entrepreneurs to say that if we could have created Mixit in 2014, which had up to 9 million people, 80% of which was from South Africa, and that's a lot. 2014, you know, like not even everyone was using that much social media back then. Not everyone had phones, so it was quite a large portion of South Africa was using Mixit. And you can go anywhere in South Africa and say, remember Mixit?
Yep.
You'll be like, yes, I had that for a while.
And sorry, DC.
Yeah, yeah. So they're going to maybe try and do some stuff to empower young entrepreneurs to create these kind of social media networks again.
But how's it going to work? Because, I mean, back then when Mixit was operational, you didn't have any WhatsApps or Telegrams or Signal or anything. Now you do. So, I mean, you're against an international market.
We're talking about the South African communications minister. Yeah, I don't think I think the thought was there.
They've got a new one every month. Who's the current one?
He used Mixit, I still don't know.
Yeah. But, yeah, you know, it's an investment. I mean, it's quite a lot of money. It's millions you have to invest in the servers and all that technology.
But if you are going to create that product, it needs to be better than WhatsApp, better than Facebook, better than Instagram.
If you have an edge, do it.
Yeah. But without that edge, it's a
little bit tough.
Have
you got an edge in mind? But don't say it, because then somebody's going to steal it.
No.
Let's think about it and let's do it then.
Yeah.
Investors call us, please.
Idea incubation days.
Yes, like
when do we go to Shark Tank?
Shark Tank, yes. Yeah, but you know, that could actually work. If you have an edge that makes it different and kind of a local thing as well, then yes.
Mm.
I just don't know what you're going to do, because Telegram's already so advanced. They can pick up groups and people around you.
Yeah. So you would have to come up with something. And Mixit died because it got phased out by people that were building things better than them. So it only stands that the only way you can phase out other things like that is to build the product better, or as an alternative, or break something that people find is a problem, like censorship and monitoring and privacy issues. And, you know, but the problem with that is it's very difficult to make money if you can't advertise, and you need data to advertise. So if someone figures it out, go for it. Let's work together on figuring out a name for it. That's what I'll participate in.
I'm hearing a train in the background. Is that your ride home?
No, I think someone's driving their trolley past. Eh?
Is that how you're going home today?
Three pushes and you jump in. Just hold on.
Well, Ken, better get in. Their timing is brilliant, I must say.
Yeah.
It's time to wrap it up, Ken. Man, it was a great Tech Plus today. We covered, as always, a lot of ground. I like the flow.
Absolutely.
I like the flow of the show.
The flow of the show. If you don't rhyme, then you don't know, you know?
Yeah. I know you can rap. I know you can rap. Are you going to rap for us one day?
Yes, one day.
Can you write, not today, I won't put you on the spot. Can you write a Tech Plus rap for us and then do it next week?
I can give it a hell of a try.
Right?
Yeah, that'll be exciting, right?
Let's see, do something different.
Let's try it. Should we do it for next week?
Yes.
Okay, I'll put my
Yes, but you must be prepared, because you can't come and rap here and... You can't... You mag nie vloek nie.
You mag nie vloek nie, hey?
Kane, I'm actually looking forward to that.
I think that'll be fun.
Yeah.
Something worth tuning in next week for.
Yes.
Absolutely.
We're already giving you enough to tune in for, but that's just a bonus.
That's the bonus. That's
Kane
the
in concert
top.
Next week.
Virtual tour starting Thursday.
I'll dance on the electricity generator dance floor. Kane, thank you so much. Have a lekker weekend, eh?
Thanks so much for having me.
And may load shedding stay away.
Yeah, no more load shedding. I'm not coming to the tech show anymore and talking about load shedding.
No.
I suffered after that announcement. I'm just going to say I've known nothing of load shedding, no matter how many announcements. But thank you so much for having me on the show. I'll check you next week.
Cheers, man.
Cheers, everyone. Bye-bye.
Hey, that was cool.